And we're back.
We're back.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
So, we were trying to record, so this is the new recording of the old recording. So for this episode of our podcast, we want to talk about making disciples, and specifically, what do we mean when we say make disciples? And I think probably to get into that, since it comes from Scripture, what does the Bible mean? And Jesus saying it, what does he mean by make disciples?
Yes.
I'm here, Jason Myers, with
Nathan Smith.
Yes, that is us. We are here. We're going to be talking about making disciples. So first, might be helpful to define what is a disciple before we talk about what it means to make disciples. So,
yeah.
Nathan, I'll let you have the first crack at what is a disciple.
First crack.
Yes.
Well, I believe a disciple, first and foremost, is a learner.
Yes.
That is one who learns. So,
In general, learning, like, disciple is any learner?
No, I guess not. Specifically, learning from a discipler. So, following the teachings or lifestyle of a particular person
or way. Which then, you could say then, a disciple not only is a learner, but a follower.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So in learning, it's not just learning a particular set of information, but learning a particular way of living.
Yes.
And then not just knowing about it, but then, like you said, following in that way.
Do you think a disciple has to be intentional? Like, do you think people are disciples of people and of ways that without even realizing or calling themselves a disciple? We're getting deep.
Never thought about that. I think people are probably both. There are intentional disciples and then there are unintentional disciples. I think our culture disciples us. We learn from our culture. We follow things in our culture or particular people within our culture. Without really analyzing that or realizing it, or realizing that we're actually following. I think children are disciples of their parents.
Right.
And children probably are not analyzing that and thinking about the fact that they are, and sometimes unwillingly, they are learning from their parents and following them.
So I think, you know, we could say that you don't have to teach somebody to be a worshiper because everybody worships.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would be accurate to also say that you don't have to, in a sense, teach somebody to be a disciple just because everybody's following or listening to and learning from something or someone all the time? The issue is maybe intentionality and commitment and who you are listening to, what you're following, who you're following, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to be part of the way that we are made.
Right.
Is to learn and to then follow.
So don't you think that everybody who follows this podcast, then they're disciples of us, right?
I believe that's accurate.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So being a disciple is a learner, a follower. But particularly, we don't mean just, hey, we want to make disciples. We want to help people follow and learn something. But we talk about in our mission statement, which is, say our mission statement.
We exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ in our city and throughout the world.
Well done. I always kind of mix it up with our old mission statement.
Yeah, I paused because I wasn't sure if it's we live or we exist. Yeah.
I memorized our mission statement in the NIV, so it was hard for me to come up with a new one.
You got to get the ESV.
So we say, you know, we want to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So that would be somebody who follows Jesus Christ. But so like Socrates or Plato, Aristotle, these were like teachers and they had disciples. Mm-hmm. Even that word was used. So what's the difference between maybe following, whether it's Oprah or following just being a generic disciple of the culture around you or some, you know, group, and being a disciple of Jesus?
Well, there are multiple points of difference. Mm-hmm. I think connecting to something we've already talked about a little bit is that there are no unintentional disciples of Jesus.
Right.
That the biblical reality is that we actually... I just dropped my phone. I'm going to pick it up.
It didn't break.
No, it didn't. Thanks to this pleather case that I have.
Pleather.
That we are actually naturally, in our natural selves, opposed to following Jesus, because following him means submitting to him. He is God, and our fallen natures are opposed to submitting to God. So nobody just kind of stumbles into it and accidentally starts following Jesus and then wakes up one day and says, oh, I'm following him. It only happens supernaturally, first of all, by the Holy Spirit regenerating our fallen natures and giving us the ability to discern spiritual things, to love Jesus, to love his teaching, to love him, to love all his ways, and to truly follow him from the heart. There are people, I guess, who could follow externally Jesus's teachings, saying, you know, that it's a good idea to love your neighbor as yourself, but to truly follow from the heart is something that we can't do, that no one just accidentally does. And so that would be it takes, first of all, the Holy Spirit's work, and then it takes also the Holy Spirit gives us a will to do that, and then we have to willfully follow Jesus, choosing to follow him.
So it's not just that the difference between Christian discipleship and being a disciple of anything or anyone else is not just what or who we follow, but there's even a difference of quality or kind of discipleship. Yeah. Because when you're following, say, Dr. Phil, you can say, I'm going to choose to reject or accept whatever he says. To be a Christian disciple of Jesus, a true disciple, you have to say, I'm going to follow everything he says. Mm-hmm. He demands actually to follow in his footsteps, as you're supposed to follow maybe somebody else, some other teacher. You follow Jesus not only by what he says, but what he says is always authoritative, and that you're following his example. And his example is, as you said, it's resistant to our kind of natural human sinful flesh. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. He says, deny yourself and follow me. Come and die to follow me.
Yeah.
And so in that, it takes faith, because you have to believe that he's A, who he says he is, worth following, and B, that when he says to, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, you have to believe that what he is going to give you, he himself, is worth giving up something else. Like, it's better.
Right, right.
So the following, the learning from him is different in itself. Mm-hmm. So maybe another difference of being a disciple of Jesus would be that it's with our children, one day we're going to die and hopefully our children outlive us and they are called to disciple others. Maybe they're going to disciple their children to follow in, you know, certain kind of footsteps. Yeah. But we don't ever move on from being a follower of Jesus. Like, we don't graduate and say, now I'm graduated from disciple to teacher.
Right.
Even if we're teaching and discipling others, we're following Jesus.
Right.
And we're never telling people to follow us as much as we're telling them to follow Jesus, always pointing
like
to him.
Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
And only as.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so now I feel like I'm interviewing you. I'm asking you questions, but this is a job interview. tell me some of your greatest weaknesses. No, I'm just kidding. So
I prefer to talk about my strengths.
And my greatest weaknesses, I just work too hard. I care too much. So in Matthew, the last chapter, chapter 28, verse 19 is where the phrase "make disciples" comes from. And we were talking earlier that this is the only time actually this exact verb is used in the New Testament. And it's an interesting word. It's one word in the Greek, mathetousetes, which is a fun word to say.
Mathetousetes.
Correct. Mathetousetes. And it the Greek word for disciple is mathetes. Mm-hmm. So it's literally the word is kind of like discipleize. You take the word disciple and make it into a verb. Take the noun and make it into a verb. Mm-hmm. Like we have a ski or a skate. And then you turn that into a verb, and it's you go skating or you ski, right? As a verb. So it can be a noun or a verb. Here, it's used as this verb, so like to make disciples or to discipleize all nations. And what would you say are from the text and it just in general we've been talking about, some of that, what does it entail to actually make a disciple? And maybe we'll go there first.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard you talk about this, and so maybe this would be helpful first for me to turn the tables and ask you a question.
Mm. Interview the interviewer.
To talk about the relationship between baptizing and making disciples. How does that relate? So is baptizing part of making disciples? Because I think a good place to start when we talk about making disciples is here. In this text. Right. So the first thing seems to be, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So is it by baptizing them or is baptizing something separate from making disciples?
Yeah. So it's somewhat interesting, the passage, because both in verse 19 where it says baptizing and in verse 20 where it says teaching, those are like, they're called participles of means. So it is, it's the means by which you are making disciples is you are to be baptizing them and teaching them. And specifically kind of focuses that baptism and that teaching. Text says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So for a fullness of disciplizing, making disciples, discipling people, it is to get them to the place where they would fully, as you said, intentionally, willfully, by the Holy Spirit's working, commit themselves to God, the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Spirit, identifying themselves with Him. So in baptism, it's saying, I am fully immersing myself. My whole identity is wrapped up in who God is for me, and specifically in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then the teaching part. So before I kind of expand on the teaching aspect, I had a professor one time say that he's an evangelism professor, so that helps you in the context. Yeah. But he said that the verb for make disciples is win disciples. So it's specifically and almost exclusively about taking people who are non-Christians and getting them to trust in Jesus to be converted. Mm-hmm. So it's about conversion, about evangelism. Mm-hmm. I think the text itself, with baptizing and teaching being the means by which you make disciples here, it kind of, what's the word? It expands upon that idea. It has to include more than that.
Yeah.
More than just evangelizing. Mm-hmm. But I think it has to start with that. If you're talking about someone who's a non-Christian, you don't you don't baptize them, you know, just go dunk them in the water and be like, hey, what was that about?
Right.
No, it has to be of faith.
You're a disciple.
That's right.
Congratulations.
I'm teaching you. So, Yeah, you can't force it on somebody. It has to be what the Holy Spirit works in their heart. So that starts with a regenerating work of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. They believe in the gospel. And by that, they're saying, I want to be a follower of, I want to be intentionally known as, and therefore that's the whole piece of baptizing and being baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right.
So yeah, that it's not just evangelism, but it for a non-Christian, that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm. Did you argue with your professor?
I did. And I actually went so far. I had another professor at the same time who was my Greek professor. And I told on my evangelism professor.
Mm.
And so he said, I'll have a talk with him.
I don't know if
that's why I got a D minus. In the class. I'm just kidding. I didn't. No, I passed. But it was helpful just to be thinking through it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he say that?
Yeah.
But it comes from his kind of natural bent and maybe spiritual gifting and passion,
right.
I guess, to
right.
evangelize and want to pass that on.
Sure.
So, but it must mean more than that.
Yeah.
Especially because of verse 20 where it says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you.
Mm-hmm.
So observe here. How would you describe or maybe define what he's meaning by observe?
Yeah, I think it is more than probably our most common usage of the word observe, which would just mean to look at.
Yeah, to notice it. Notice I'm teaching you things.
Notice these things. But to observe here, I think it's probably an older usage or less common for us of that word, which would mean, yeah, looking at and seeing, but then following, obeying, submitting right. to. Yeah, so then Jesus is telling his disciples, you should teach others to hear, to know, but then to obey the things right. that I have commanded you.
Yeah, yeah. So to do, not just to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, to trust. So if I'm teaching somebody to know something about Jesus, and they say, okay, sure, I can say that's okay. But then if they're to live their life on it, observe, and to keep their life in accordance with what Jesus has commanded, it says, which is another reason why we think observe is not just to watch, but because he says right. to what I've commanded you,
right.
To observe, to obey all that I've commanded, I would say you have to believe that it's, again, Jesus is authoritative, which right. verse 18 in the same passage says, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Mm-hmm.
So based upon this, obey my commandment to go, therefore make disciples, baptizing and teaching them.
Right.
Make disciples, discipleize others by baptizing them, those who believe in the name and the work of the Son, and who will submit to me, Jesus says, teaching them to observe, to obey all that I've commanded, because they believe that I am Lord, and they're submitting to me as Lord.
Right.
But another part of this is the word all. Like, mm-hmm. how long does that take?
Mm-hmm. Well, since it observe is not just seeing, learning about, but it's also submitting to fully, completely, right. that takes a lifetime and
yeah.
beyond. We'll never perfectly observe, meaning submit to all that Jesus has commanded us in this life. So that, and I think this is where you're going, the mm-hmm. disciplizing process for all of us is continual, always ongoing.
Right. Yeah. So it never stops. So our job as disciples is to observe all that he has commanded us.
Mm-hmm.
And by observe, as we said, to know, to trust, to obey in a way that is, I would say this is another whole aspect of discipleship of Jesus is different, that we don't just say, I'm going to follow what he says, but I'm going to love the one I'm following. So
right.
if you don't, which go back to one of my other professors one time actually had us memorize verses 16 through 20 of Matthew. And so I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And so what we should do is not being among those who doubt, but mm-hmm. it's the contrast is not doubt in faith, but doubt in worship. Which worship must include faith.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
But if we're to submit ourselves to Jesus, to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to observe everything that he's commanded, it's all about worship.
Mm-hmm.
That we live a life as disciples who worship Jesus.
Yeah.
So if you're, for Aristotle to have a disciple, they weren't supposed to worship him.
Right.
They were to learn from him and to have a good life because of all his teachings. But here it's, no, I must live and die in the name of Jesus. I must, immerse my whole self. I'm saying I am his. I belong to him in baptism. I'm going to observe everything he has to say, all that he's commanded with faith as an act of worship, loving him, joyfully obeying all that he said.
Yeah.
And so that takes a lifetime because even when I obey something Jesus tells me to do, my heart's not full of pure worship and love as it should be. He deserves more of my heart
right.
Than he has.
Well, yeah, keeping in mind that one of the things Jesus commanded was, teaching from the Old Testament, but that we should love the Lord our yeah. God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that's kind of a summary of all that he commanded. And until we've perfected that,
right.
and that word again, all, is all-encompassing. So until we're loving the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, all the time,
right.
then we're not fully we're not fully observing all that Jesus has commanded us.
So it's not like discipleship is a phase of the Christian life. It is right. The Christian life.
Right. Yeah.
So from conversion until death, we should be seeking to grow in being better disciples, mm-hmm. loving Jesus more, worshiping him more, obeying him more, trusting him more, glorifying him in all that we do. So we, in our mission statement, making disciples mm-hmm. is kind of all-encompassing for the whole Christian life and the whole life of the church, because being a disciple is comprehensive.
Yeah.
It's all-encompassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe a more practical question then is, baptizing and teaching are kind of general headings, almost you could say, for how we disciple-ize, how we make disciples. But there are specifics that we do. Mm-hmm. So as a church,
yeah.
what are some practical ways that we go about this, evangelistic baptizing and teaching aspects of making disciples?
Mm-hmm. Well, for us, particularly as pastors, we one of the ways that God has given to us to be making disciples is through our worship gatherings. So mm-hmm. when we gather on mm-hmm. Sunday morning, we are making disciples, and maybe I shouldn't have even prefaced it like that with us as pastors, because there is disciple-izing happening between all the believers who are gathered, not just from us as pastors discipling the...
I'm gonna stop you, because that's I think that's a huge point. When it says his command is, go therefore make disciples, it was to those who worshiped him, not the ones who doubted.
Mm-hmm.
So is that call, that command, the commission, the great call, the Great Commission to make disciples, is that only to pastors?
No, it is to disciples.
Right.
So those who are disciples are to be making disciples. Those who are followers are to be leading other followers.
One of the observances of his commands, because one of his commands is to make disciples. Right. So right. to be a disciple, you make disciples. Yeah. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so for us, as we, as pastors are preaching, reading the word, as I'm leading songs that are hopefully word-saturated,
mm-hmm.
teaching the commands of Jesus, exhorting obedience, all those things, we're making disciples. But then those who are gathered through conversations, through praying for one another, through encouraging each other, and even in some ways, just by their very presence, the fact that they're here when
mm-hmm.
We haven't really talked about how the commands of Jesus are not just the things that he said in the Gospels, but actually all of Scripture. But
right.
But since one of the commands of Scripture, which is the word of Christ, is to not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, mm-hmm. then by someone's being here, they're showing that they are being obedient, and so by example, they are teaching and making disciples in that way. That might seem like kind of a stretch, like, oh, I'm, you know, like right. you can check off your disciple-making box by just showing up on a Sunday morning, but it's obviously not the totality, and there's really no checking off the disciple-making box anyway,
'cause right.
it's all of life. But I think it is helpful to think of it that way, and because it helps us to be more intentional, I think, when we're gathered, to realize, okay, this is a part of making disciples. And so if I'm doing that, I'm teaching something, even if it's only my kids who are watching me, I'm teaching them something about what it means to follow Jesus,
yeah.
because I'm teaching them something about what it means to worship Jesus. So if I am, if I show up on a Sunday morning half asleep, or if I show up and I am totally disengaged, or at least outwardly
grumpy
looking
or fake, or
all those kind of cliche
right.
things of screaming at the kids in the car and walk in the building and
smile. How are you? Face,
then,
I'm fine.
Yeah, then your family's learning something about what it means to follow Jesus, that it's okay to to be hypocritical.
Right.
And so in all those ways, there really is an element of discipleship. And it's good to be aware of it at the very least,
yeah.
so that we are teaching what is true and right about following Jesus.
So because of that, though, would you say that all acts or steps, strategies of disciple making are not equal?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. So, because like your obedience of being a disciple is has a way of supporting the fact that Jesus is worthy. that has a way of actually helping people to see that he's worthy and should be followed, should be, worshipped.
Yeah.
But that's not the same thing as actually telling somebody or being explicit.
Right.
There are some things that are naturally going to be more impactful and maybe more important at times than other things, but all of it is important in one sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And so that's kind of an aspect of what you asked about intentional ways that we as a church are seeking to make disciples. You know, all the things that we do together as a church really should be easily traced back to our mission statement. Otherwise, we probably shouldn't be doing them.
Right.
So, our some of the things that are probably more obvious are, like I said, Sunday worship gatherings, discipleship classes, equip classes.
Piney families.
Yeah. The Ridge gathering, all of that.
Of course, this podcast.
Right.
Of course.
Hopefully. We shouldn't be doing it. So all of those things, some of them are easier to connect in our minds to disciple making. But it is something that is helpful for us as we plan and think about events and activities. If we can't easily connect to our mission, then... an activity that we're doing, then we probably should consider eliminating that.
Right.
Because I say closely connect because you can connect because discipleship is all of life. You can connect pretty much anything in some way. But if it's not closely connected, then we could probably have a, crayon coloring event here.
I would so come
weekly.
To that.
And we could say, well, we're making art and colors are beautiful.
And God's creative.
And so this is disciple making. But it would be a really loose connection.
Right. Almost like an illegitimate kind of connection that we're just trying to support what we want to do.
Yeah. And not that there's anything illegitimate about coloring with crayons or
it's very legitimate practice. Very legitimate art.
However, as a church, we are necessarily limited in the things that we can do by resources and time. And so...
do the best things.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't waste it on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So there's things that we've talked about. A lot of the things, not everything, but a lot of things we've been talking about as far as our intentional kind of strategies for making disciples are the gathered church as opposed to the scattered church. Mm-hmm. What are some things that our people can and should be doing when they're scattered to be making disciples? Other than, like you said, they're very. Not again, I don't want to downplay the importance of being obedient in your everyday life when you're at work and so forth, of being honoring to Christ and how you live your life. But if they want to be more intentional and intense, I guess you could say, intentional and intensely making disciples when they're not here at the gathered meetings or services or events or opportunities, what are some things they could be doing?
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned... your professor was kind of overstating it and trying to make too much of a case for the evangelism piece of making disciples, but that is a necessary part of making disciples is evangelism. And so there's that, just evangelism and what's been called pre-evangelism, which is kind of just establishing relationships with people. So, as a part of following Christ, that might lead someone to go to the same place for gas every day or go to the same coffee shop or try to at work on lunch break sit with the same group of people and kind of just build relationships in that way. And then as God gives opportunity and praying that God would give opportunity and as he does that, as he answers that prayer, then using those opportunities to evangelize, to share the gospel. And that's part of disciple making, I think, with on a more personal intimate level with our kids, our family, evangelizing our kids every time we have the opportunity. When we're disciplining them is a great opportunity to share the gospel with them. The reality of God's wrath against sin is sometimes apparent to them in discipline, but then also we need to be sharing the reality of God's grace through Christ offered to them through faith. And so evangelizing our children And
well, that's like you said, discipline, family worship time,
right?
And just as they're not just discipline, unless you discipline a lot, no. Mm-hmm. But even just as you know, Deuteronomy says, when you're living life. So maybe when you are praying for something and God answers your prayer, use it as a time just to encourage your children and say, "Hey, we just prayed about this, and God did this, and mm-hmm. see how He responded to this." Or
yeah.
Praying with your kids about something. And sometimes it means teaching them a bigger kind of theology about Jesus, and that when you pray for something and it doesn't, He doesn't answer with an affirmative yes in that yeah. way, that you say, what do we do? What are we to do with this? And mm-hmm. help answer, ask questions that they can, and you can answer them for them and help them answer them, giving them a bigger picture. All that is teaching them that Jesus is somebody worth worshiping, worth trusting, worth obeying and following in every way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And other ways of being intentional about making disciples when we're scattered you know, outside of our gathered worship times and so on would just be accountability,
mm-hmm.
whether that's, you know, one-on-one or
right.
two or three people gathered together. In those times, there that accountability should be, it is, if it's genuine and real, it is disciple making. We're discipling right. each other. I think sometimes we think about disciple making only as, you know, the Paul and Timothy kind of relationship where you have right. someone who's more mature, or Titus 2 relationship where it talks about older women mm-hmm. Teaching the younger women. Like, it's only discipleship
if mentor
it's
and that. Protege mm-hmm. yeah
yeah yeah. And I don't think that's accurate.
Not that that's wrong or
any right. Yeah, that's too limiting for what discipleship really is.
Right.
Because discipleship, since it encompasses all of life, we can learn from someone who's older, someone who's mm-hmm. younger, someone who's been walking with the Lord for years, or someone who just came to faith yesterday. Right. So in accountability, it's not as though, okay, we're just two peers. We're about on the same level.
Right.
So
and part of that
we're not going to be discipling each other.
And part of that is because the teaching them to observe everything Jesus commands is not just teaching them new information.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's reminding them of what's true.
Right.
And sometimes it's encouraging them about God's promises. Sometimes it's exhorting them to continue on to do what they know they should be doing.
Right.
Maybe it's comforting them in the midst of some sorrow or suffering and pointing them to Jesus in the midst mm-hmm. of that. Or maybe it's rebuking them when they have sinned and need to repent, and all those ways. So it doesn't have to be formal even. The intentionality right. Can be less intense and more informal, such that when you're hanging out with friends, and whether they're Christians or non-Christians, you can be making disciples.
Mm-hmm.
That takes an intentionality, and I think a gospel focus, and focus even in your speech. Not that we always have to, every word out of our mouth has to be a sentence about Jesus, but that we're seeking to relate things back to God, back to what God would have us to do, and back to what Jesus has done and what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of leads me to another question where it says, make disciples. That's the English translation. It almost sounds like the power resides within us.
Yeah.
That I'm going to go make a cake. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go make a disciple. Mm-hmm. It's not in our power to do. So if you were to make disciples, or again, the Greek word could be, you could just say it's the verbal form of the noun.
Yeah.
So discipleize or discipling, since it's not actually in our power to make that create something,
mm-hmm.
I'm not ever, what's the word, advocating that we change all translations of the Bible to say something different. But yeah. I think to have a theological understanding of the phrase, we can be making disciples when we're in the sense of how that word is intended, when we are praying and making efforts toward that, mm-hmm. not just when it happens.
Right.
So that if we say, well, I haven't made a disciple of a non-Christian because they haven't yet said the prayer. Or whatever, they're not converted yet. They're not trusting in Christ, but you're still making disciples when you're seeking to intentionally, working that toward that effort, praying towards that.
Right.
When you are trying to encourage somebody, doesn't mean that they always accept it, but that's the Holy Spirit's work to take your obedience and make it effective.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our efforts at seeking for to help others to worship Jesus more, to follow him more, to submit to him in every area of their life more fully, loving him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that is making disciples.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be something that we accomplish, because it can be.
Right, right.
Which, I'll close with this question. What is the, and maybe the intended benefit of these two kind of beginning and the bookended phrases he gives in verse 18 and in verse 20? Mm-hmm. He starts it off with, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, from Matthew 28. Mm-hmm. What is the point and purpose maybe of saying that before he gives this command? And then at the end, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What do you think of his purpose and in point of giving that promise?
Well,
it's turned into like a Bible study.
Yeah.
Started with an interview, now it's a Bible study. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. That's kind of both now.
This, would you say that this is disciple making?
Right, yes, here? I believe so. We're discipling each other and okay. And everyone who listens.
Because I thought I was discipling you, but
I'm being discipled right now.
You are. Well, I'm sure that Jesus had many purposes for saying these things, but just one benefit of us having these promises is that it gives us hope, connected to what you were just talking about, mm-hmm. that we're not on our own trying to accomplish something that, as you said, we can't accomplish.
It's impossible for us.
Because, right, no one is a true disciple, as I said earlier, without having a heart change that is wrought only by the Holy Spirit. Right. So we've been given a mission that is beyond us.
Yeah.
It is beyond our strength, beyond our ability.
That sounds mean. Why would Jesus do that?
Yeah. Well, so he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he's really saying the responsibility for the results is right on me. Here's your mission. Go and make disciples and do that by baptizing and teaching. But the results, that's on my shoulders. And in case that's discouraging for you when you right are seeking to make disciples and people, instead of, as he told them what happened, instead of saying, yeah, I'm on board, I'm going to obey Jesus and follow him, instead they're, you know, mocking you, persecuting you, killing you.
Or even just that it's, they say they want to maybe, and yet it's a discouraging, like you said, sometimes with your children mm-hmm. or with your neighbors or with yourself, the growth is not always steady and right and clean and beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's people get discouraged. People, they sin. They need to be somebody to be patient with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be just a frustrating task of seeking to make disciples. We know that with ourselves.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have more patience with ourselves and with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Jesus says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Yeah.
So don't give up. Don't take too much weight on yourself, because as if you were doing this alone
right
or as if you were doing this in your power, Jesus says, no, I'm with you always to the end of the age.
And so that and promise is not just I'm with you, but like, well, so what? It's with you in power. It's with you in to guide you, to help mm-hmm. you. Yeah. Yeah. In authority to bring about, to make the impossible task possible through his power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in Matthew, one of the themes is the inauguration of the kingdom.
Yeah.
In the first coming of Christ. And so when we look around, and so as more and more disciples are made, the kingdom of God is growing, expanding. And so when we look around and it seems like just with the devastation in the world, the moral decline, everything, when what we can see is not an advance of the kingdom, but
an advance of the kingdom of darkness, maybe.
Right.
It
yeah
seems. Yeah.
Yeah. Then again, that can be discouraging, but Jesus says those are that may be the appearance.
But all authority is still mine.
Right.
But and
he
I'm still
has
with
the
you
authority and he's still with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, now we are officially done disciple making. So the next podcast will be about where Nathan gets his haircut.
Mm-hmm. It'll be really short.
The hair or the podcast?
Both. I say we sign off.
Signing off. We're out.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org.
That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.